way back in the early 20-teens, a city fella from Minnesota and a wannabe cowpuncher from small town Iowa came together to swap tall tales over the airwaves. They made lots of friends along the way, but even more enemies. By chance, they made acquaintance with a sodbuster from over the other side of the county, who felt obliged to butt in on their little show and give them the what fors from time to time. After nigh on a decade of pointless blathering, one thing led to another, and they were unceremoniously tossed out on their ear from their little radio show. Eventually, this ragtag group found their way back together and decided to start a little podcast we like to call Dutch by Association.
I didn't contribute anything.
You're welcome, and welcome to all of you to episode 76 of the Dutch by Association podcast. Does anyone know if that's the right number?
Yes.
Yes, you know?
No idea.
That's the right number.
No, I think somebody knows. I don't know. Somebody does.
How do you not know?
How do I not know?
You're the guy that names and edits and all that?
And it's been like 3 months since we've done this.
Nearly.
1 month, 70, right?
Episode 75.
When was that released?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Doesn't matter. But it's been like...
It's been quite some time.
It's been a while.
And it's been a month.
It's all because of that lady that got caught embezzling in Sheldon. And now the rules are that if you work at a bank, you have to take 4 weeks of consecutive vacation. And that's why you've been gone so long.
Four consecutive weeks
of vacation.
I did not take 4 consecutive weeks of vacation.
The DBA podcast has been Bernice Geigerd.
Well, thank you, Bernice. I appreciate it.
Well, because, the last time you were on vacation, so that's what... So in the last 3 months, I think we've had 2 podcasts.
Yeah.
Because of you.
The natives are getting restless. They're just... They're growling on Twitter, calling you out by name. They know it's you.
They do.
How would they know?
Pursuing you. Because they know what kind of jobs we have.
Yes, they know.
That's because I posted my calendar on Facebook.
Yes.
They saw how busy I was.
That's probably right. That's probably right. Hey, Aaron, tell us a little bit about today's sponsor of the DBA pod.
I will reluctantly tell about today's sponsor. And only because the Venmo cleared, right? I trust.
It did. Yep. The money has hit the account.
But isn't it money and beer? Or is it money or beer?
Well, he gave the subsequent amount that would equal both.
Oh, so okay, all right.
It was 70. He gave $75, so that was the 50 plus the beer. So we'll call it good.
Yeah, that's
good.
We'll
allow it. We will allow it. Hold on.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Usually when
it was right here.
This reminds me of like the when you were first on radio.
Garbanzo beans. Jicama sticks. Oh. So here you go. This is from Parts Man at Tractor Chopper. Hey, DBA Pod, we want to sponsor an episode. We just won more money playing ball with Turf Care. So I guess this is by the Turf Todd's Turf Care in Rock Valley.
Was that Mo money or more money?
Mo. It's Mo is his, I don't even know his real name, but his nickname is Mo, and he was very athletic. It is very athletic for the age he is. And
how old is he?
You guys' age. We're maybe like closer to my age. right in the neighborhood.
So somewhere
39, 40 is my guess for Mo. But Mo was a pickup by the Chicken Ranch when we got
him on the waiver wire.
We did. We got him on the waiver wire.
So for those of you that are not familiar and haven't been listening since day negative.
Well, you have to have been listening to the radio days for you to really appreciate what Chicken Ranch Softball did to me.
What it did to me, too.
So we played 19 years of slow pitch softball starting in the year 2000.
I think. In Rock Valley, right?
Started in Sioux Center, then went to Rock Valley.
Oh, you got booted to Rock Valley?
Yeah. Now, Sioux Center...
You're not good enough to play here.
No, our interests changed.
There's more beer consumed in Rock Valley.
There was more beer available. That was interest number one. Interest number two was they moved us to a field in Sioux Center behind the McDonald's where the fences were so far back you couldn't hit dingers. So you had to run. Look, I either walked to first or I hit a home run and go straight to the dugout. Those are the two things I do.
And did they not when make you round the bases?
No, we're too fat, too old.
Oh, my gosh.
You hit your dinger awesome. Straight to the dugout. That's the beauty of slow pitch softball.
That's something I can get behind.
But then all of a sudden, nobody could hit dingers. So I was like, all right. And two of the guys were always pushing to move to Rock Valley. You know, guys, they drink beer in the dugouts in Rock Valley. They don't, don't tell the mayor, but this is what happens. And so we moved and we fell in love with it. And we fell in love with some of the teams there. And one of the teams that we enjoyed playing the most was Todd's Turf Care. Two of the guys there run the league and they do a very good job, but we would never tell them that. We would just constantly heckle them about crappy field conditions. Why are you always making us play on this field? It's the worst one. You're seeking us out.
You always had the very first game and the very last game.
Yeah, they were always out to get us. Well, that's what we told them. And I think they enjoyed the chicken ranch because we were serious in one thing only, and that was how we looked. We had polyester. You were serious
in presentation.
Yes, we had polyester uniforms. By the time we were done, we had three uniforms, and then because one was yellow, one was orange, one was brown, you could rotate. So there was a spreadsheet that went out. You're going to wear brown top, yellow bottoms, orange socks, orange belt, this color hat, and you'd have to keep track of that.
But now I'm getting some PTSD flashbacks here. Because then there was that one alternate uniform that you did every single year.
Every year.
That was the Daisy Dukes shorts.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, short shorts. Daisy Duke night. Yeah, where your pockets had to be lower than what your denim was cut. That was the deal.
Well, I would have went and found like a pair of JNCOs or something with the big pockets so that I could keep them a little bit longer.
Hey, if everybody does it, there's no shame in it.
Oh, there's still shame in it.
No. There's still plenty of shame.
No.
When your legs are the same hue as the sun,
that's... It was bright. Yeah. Our legs were actually blue.
So did you feel like that you got kind of an advantage on Daisy Duke night because the audience was so distracted by they were seeing?
Yes. Oh, yeah. People loved it. The children loved it. The children? The old women loved it. Everybody thought it was the funniest thing they'd ever seen. And there were teams that they would know they would play us next week. Hey, we play you guys next week. Is it Daisy Duke's night? And we'd be like, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe not. And
so what did you wear for a top with the Daisy Dukes? Like a halter top?
Or? No, you had to wear an old, like an NBA jersey or another tank top jersey. So I was wearing my wife's Muggsy Bogues jersey that fit her and didn't really fit me.
Wait, hold on.
That's what you're matching with?
Your wife had a Muggsy Bogues jersey?
I think it must have been a gift from one of her previous boyfriends, because otherwise it makes no sense why she would have it.
It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. What? I've known you for like 15 years. Well, not quite that long, but I've known you for like a decade, and I've heard a lot of your stories, but I never heard that one. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a DBA exclusive on Renee.
Yes, on my wife. I don't know where. I guess I've never asked her where she got it from.
How do you not ask her how she has a flippin' Muggsy Bogues jersey?
Come on, man. Good Dutch kid, their parents probably got it at Nearly Newtown or some other new... Secondhand.
She asked for a Michael Jordan jersey for Christmas.
And all we had was Muggsy Bogues.
Oh yeah, the best the village treasure chest could offer.
Yes, yes.
What is Nearly Newtown? I guess I'm not
consignment store.
That's a consignment store in Rock Valley.
It's where I haul garbage bags full of clothing about every year.
Yeah, so
that's always one size.
Well, we don't now anymore because we have so many consignment stores here in town.
Bigger than the previous year,
but no, I think Rock Valley almost kind of pioneered the consignment store having quality items.
Correct.
Right. Not just having it be good stuff.
Yeah.
And so just last night at church, there were ladies sitting around a table visiting about how, some of those consignment stores in Rock Valley are really asking a lot for their products anymore. Discussing the price points that you need to wait for when things go on
sale. Gotten a little big for their britches over there.
Yeah. On their britches.
So Anyhow, Todd Surf Care, thank you for the sponsorship. I haven't forgotten about you guys. You guys were fun to play. You really were. You just beat us into the ground. Typically, if they had an off night, we might win, and we would never let them forget it. We would hope that would happen in tournament time. It never did.
I would imagine that they were probably a lot the same way and wouldn't let you forget who your daddy was.
Yeah, good-natured guys, though, and they liked us because...
Gosh darn it, they try hard.
Yeah, they try hard. But we were, you know, not only were we the well-dressed, the best-dressed, we just were good, funny guys. I think that's a lot of it. And then there was a team there called the Blueberries from Dune, affectionately known as the Pooberries. But anyways, it's like, those guys were like our absolute nemesis. Like, we wanted to beat them in the worst way because... And there are poop blueberries that listen to the DBA pod.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, bumped into one at Pizza Ranch the other day. He works for CFE.
Oh.
And so they're respectable people, obviously.
So great, yeah.
They got jobs.
They have jobs. Yeah, wow.
What was it about the blueberries?
So let me give you an example of the blueberries. So you're allowed 2 home runs per inning. You have a third
per
home.
Per inning?
Per inning. A third home run is an out.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So we're playing, scores tied, very close.
Is there a 10 run rule?
Yeah, until you get like after the fifth inning or I don't remember. There's run rules and things like that too. But
see, Todd's Turf Care.
So we have 2 home runs already, next home run's an out. Bam, hit a ball all the way out to the outfield. The outfielder goes out towards the fence, not all the way up to the fence, out towards the fence, runs. Tips the ball with their glove, almost a Jose Canseco thing, and it goes over, and they call it a 4 base run error and an out. They say that was, it's then counted that as an out, not like that was going to land in.
Mm-hmm.
No, because, it was just screwy, and we got screwed, and... That always happened with them guys. Always finding stupid rules like a 4 base error. Just
and about what year are we talking? Are we talking
2013 to 2015?
Wow. That was like the golden era of Chicken Ranch.
No, golden era. We won. We won the tournament in Sioux Center for the B League. We won the tournament. Be the tournament in Sioux Center 1 year. That's when we were all like really in shape. It wasn't quite the focus of, hey, we all get together and laugh and hoot it up and have a few brews. You know, it was, look,
we're here to show win.
We're going to win. Yeah. That attitude faded over time. But when that attitude was very prominent, we could put some wins up on the board.
So, and I remember during those days, you had to rotate like who brought the food and who brought the beer, right?
Yep.
Like
that was also on the spreadsheet.
Of course.
Who was bringing brats and buns and who was bringing the brews.
And it sounded like that's kind of gave you a good, well-defined palate for really shitty beer.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, those were, I miss those days. I really do. And for us, for the family, so some guys say, well, you know, it's hard because I'm leaving the wife and kids at home. They don't really care for that. It's every week of the summer. For us, we were going to Rock Valley. That's where my mom and dad-in-law are. So we took the kids and we took my wife and they could play in the playground in Rock Valley and see grandpa and grandma. It was a family thing. So for us, it was, let's keep doing it. But it just didn't work. And before you know it, like when we started and most of the guys were at Dort, everybody came every week. And then maybe one person might be missing. And before you know it, when we were in our 19th year, we were lucky to have 5 charter members on any given night. And you had subs and long-term subs, and that's who Mo was.
And if I'm remembering this right, if you wanted to be done with Chicken Ranch softball, you had to give some sort of like Lou Gehrig like speech.
Yes, you had to give a Lou if you were quitting or moving. So we brought a guy back from Denver to come, and he has to buy everybody 40s, and then we drink the 40s while he gives a Lou Gehrig's type. This is the greatest type speech in front of the opposing team and their crowd too, and they're wondering what
is going on.
So it only happened
the
one
elaborate.
Time. Yes.
I know.
That's what happened. The awards nights. I can tell you what my batting average... Well, I can't, but like Doc can and Colin can tell you what my batting average is when it's over 85 degrees and the wind is out of the north. Or if the wind is behind me. So they... Yeah, a mathematician and an eye doctor who's got more time on his hands than you can imagine. But they were writing all of these algorithms and equations to punch out these awards that we were doing at the end of the year. Like, we had awards based on who bats better after eating brats and drinking beer. And those were awards. Wow. And different awards like who hits into the most... fielder's choices, who has the most singles. You know, there were just awards that they were... And so you'd get a binder at the end of the year just full of, with a spreadsheet full of all these different things. And some of these guys took this pretty serious and
obviously
had a lot of fun with it. But it was all just a lot of fun. I mean, how can we sit around and just laugh and have a great time?
And if you go to SP Heating and Cooling today and see Aaron's office, he still has prominently displayed his... What was...
My 100th home run.
100th career
home
run. You had
100 home runs?
Yeah, before we even moved to Rock Valley.
That was in Sioux Center yet.
That was in Sioux Center. I'm pretty sure that was in Sioux Center. Wow. It was against the Los Yankees. It was one of those team names you don't forget. So, and then I have a bat. I have a bat, too. We divvied up bats at the end when we decided that this was it.
So
every morning I come in and I look at that ball and I look at that bat and I say, we're going to get them today. We're going to get them.
Win one for the Gipper. Well, thank you, Todd's Turf Care.
Mm-hmm.
You were a worthy adversary, I guess, and
they'd been playing ball for years before we were old enough to get in the league, and they're playing for years after. So that's pretty amazing.
So they must be older than you then, right?
Oh yeah, a couple of these guys are.
So they're like knocking on the door of 50?
Probably.
Wow.
I'd say these guys are getting close.
Wow. So is this league pretty competitive? Like they're good?
No.
I don't want to give too much credit.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't say that it's overly competitive. There's some church teams that come in and just
get
pummeled.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's...
Well, they're too nice.
They're just there to have fun. Yeah, they're too nice. They're like, oh, I would have gotten you out, but that wouldn't be very Christ-like. So... hard to win that way.
Speaking of softball, you're talking about the Sioux Center and then moving to Rock Valley because of the whole beer thing, and it made me think back to like the Sheldon. If you hear people talk about like the Sheldon glory years, it used to be a great beer league softball league in Sheldon, but then they shut it down because they didn't allow alcohol in the park. And then when we were looking,
this is before Yetis were invented.
Correct. Yeah. Yes, you are correct. Yes, the only thing the closest thing to a Yeti was an igloo. So
the big orange one with the
spigot
flips. Yeah.
We were looking into the laws and code that was on the books when we were getting into. The celebration days last year because we're going to do the
concert.
The concert and all that. There is absolutely nothing on the books that says that alcohol is not allowed in
the
park.
And the thing is, what's crazy about small town politic is, and governance is you, and even with school board, I'll say that, you run with these assumptions because these other guys said these rules exist.
Yep.
Well, old Joe, he's been on here since 72, right. And he said, well, that must be the truth.
Uh-huh.
And then, you actually get the book out and look and go, now, wait a
second. So, if any of you rapscallions, the youth out there, want to resurrect the beer league softball, there's nothing in the rules that says you cannot. Talk to your good friend Trevor Cast at the city of Sheldon. And let's see what we can do.
Well, they got to work around my practice schedule, though. So,
don't we all?
Well, shouldn't we have a tournament, though, for Sheldon Celebration Days? I mean, I'm not offering to run it.
Hey,
but
that's
it's coming
a great
up.
Idea.
It's in 2 weeks, so probably not gonna have
by the
that
time this
ready
gets
to
released.
Go.
But no, for future planning, idea.
Right. They could do it in Ashton.
If you
the
can
league
do it in
is
Ashton.
So hard because everybody has so much other stuff going on. There's only so much field access. See, Rock Valley, that's why I have to get my butt over there for a game at 4:30 in the afternoon for my kid, so they can be done in time for guys like you to go over there and drink beer.
Yeah,
that's right. They know where their bread's
made. Like, I gotta take PTO from freaking work to get to a fifth grade baseball game.
You don't have to go.
No. I'm a coach.
Okay, you have to go.
And my kid has to get there somehow.
You don't have to coach. Why can't your wife with her cush academia job do it?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's going to hear that and punch you in the face.
I know. I'm not fast. Anyway, I think that will... years and years ago, it actually just came up on my Facebook memories. It was either 13 or 14 years ago. We had a kickball league in Sheldon, and we were the Ball Breakers. And we even had a sponsor. It was back in the day. I'm going to date myself here. You remember Nita DD? You probably weren't even around then.
Was that Sway's thing?
Yeah, Sway. He had a limo. I've heard about it. He had a limo and a minivan, and would just it was such a great idea that people ruined. Nathan Troyebeck had an awesome idea. He said, "All right, you know what? I'm going to hire some people to run a DD service. I've got the vehicles," and what they found was, for insurance and liability reasons, you couldn't charge. You couldn't say it's going to be X amount of money for you to get from A to B. It was a free will donation, and you'd get to 2 a.m., and the bar would close, and you'd get people. And because I saw this all the time because I was DJing, so I was like, you know, right there in the thick of it with him. And there's more than a few times that he's gotten to drive me home and I walked back to get my stuff later. You know, they'd say, "Okay, hey, can you stop at Hy-Vee quick so I can get a pizza and some more beer?" And then you'd end up making all these runs. Like, "Okay, see ya." Nothing. So then people like myself, and there were a few others out there, be like, "Dude, I'm so sorry. Here's 20. You know, and try to make up for having their entire night wasted doing that. Well, and so as it happened, it had gotten so bad that he's like, "Why am I doing this? I'm actually losing money. So sorry." And that sucked. And then we haven't had anything like that since. And, you know, obviously it's going to be probably a couple more years before Uber gets here. So it floored me. It's like, what an awesome idea to have, to make sure that you can always have a safe, guaranteed ride home, and you don't even care to make sure that it continues to exist. Yes. It's too bad.
But that was the sponsor of your kickball team?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not surprised that your sponsor was the DD service.
Well, it was also...
Oh, look, the team bus / truck wagon is here.
Now, the other sponsor was Budsy, so...
Kind of went hand in hand.
It really did. It really did. That was fun, though. Those were good times, so I'm with you, Aaron. I do not miss the Thursday mornings after. Oh, gosh.
I'm so sweepy, Wayne. I'm just so sweepy.
And
Wayne says, "There can't be two of us here that are so sweepy. That's right. You're supposed to be awake.
You have to run this ship until 7 a.m. when my coffee kicks in. Come on. You know better than that."
Sorry. The good old days.
Now.
But sometimes the good old days weren't actually that good.
Yep. Definitely the reality of that. Of perspective there. So, anyway. 23 minutes in to our sponsor mention. Feel bad. Sorry, Corey.
They've got a whole segment.
I know. Corey Crouch, Crouch Construction. We're going to, we'll keep name dropping you because,
For sure.
We want to make sure that you live up, that we live up to that for you, et cetera. It's good to be back, guys.
Feels
it's
good.
It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're like, school starting, and we're getting
week next Wednesday
from Wednesday. Man.
I think every school round is starting the same day for the first time ever.
Nope, everybody except Unity, because it was in the review this weekend. They laid out, you know, what all the dates were for everybody. That's the only one. They're the 24th.
That doesn't sound like Unity to me.
No, it does not. No, it does not. Shame.
Nothing.
What?
Thank you.
It didn't say why. I have no idea why. But But yeah, literally every other school is on the 23rd. Hmm. Is that the first legal day?
No. Because
of the state fair.
Is the state doing that?
It has to be after the state fair.
The state fair is going on now. I guess
and
I don't
the,
know
the
how long it runs.
The state fair ends on Sunday. And the law is, and then there's, I think there's got to be a buffer in between because people got to, you know, get home if they're showing animals or whatever. So
interesting.
That must be the legal first day.
And kind of a holdover from years gone by. Well, we're going to
No. This was only enacted in the last 5 years.
Oh, seriously? Mm-hmm. Oh, so that's a tourist-based thing or tourism-based thing.
Yeah, that and, you know, they didn't want kids to have to choose between going to school or going to the state fair.
I wonder how many kids
show their animal or whatever.
Go to the fair.
Mm-hmm. And all I could think about was Saturday night. We were sitting in the promenade or whatever they call it, the preservation plaza.
Preservation plaza.
Yes, thank you.
The green space at Arnold's Park.
Watching Ellie King.
Is it Ellie or L?
Oh, I don't know.
It's spelled E-L-L-E.
So, yeah, I don't really know.
Doesn't matter.
And all I could think was...
I struggled with Kanye that way, too.
Kane? That same night, a scant like 75 miles south, Ludacris was playing at the Hard Rock. Oh, I would have so liked to have seen that.
Eh.
What?
I was fine being home for both.
No.
Yes.
What?
Yes. You weren't at the Luda show?
No, I wasn't at the Luda show.
Who's your housekeeper? What you keep in your house?
That's a song lyric, oh, Aaron.
I was going to say.
Well,
we actually have a new one. You need her number?
I was going to ask if you'd gotten a new housekeeper.
I owned a few Luda CDs back in the day, but I've never been to a rap concert.
I've not been either. So, yeah, I guess I don't know how it goes. But
yeah, I don't know. I just don't know.
I mean, he's... Luda's the GOAT, man. He's awesome.
Oh, yeah. He's good. I don't know. I liked the free concert better.
Man. You were there, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Wayne
for
sat
L
next to me.
Or Ellie.
Yeah. Miss King. Ugh. Rob Schneider's daughter.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no nepotism
with that. No. And what
she's
was funny,
here strictly on her merit.
What was funny was she called herself a country-ass bitch.
And had a southern accent.
What does that even mean?
Presumably she grew up in California.
Right. But then...
did everybody cheer?
Hey, y'all! But then, yeah, then her model mother stole her away to the trailer park in Ohio. I don't know quite how that works, but... I mean, hey, there was a song that I recognized, so she must have had some notoriety. I'm kind of pissed.
And it wasn't a cover.
No, well,
no.
Yeah, it wasn't.
What is it? I'm drunk and I want to go home.
Yes.
That one?
Yep, that's the one.
But the only reason I think, did she do that one with Miranda Lambert?
Yeah, yes. But she is the main artist that features Miranda Lambert. Yep. Right?
Yeah, and then she has one like X's and O's or something like that.
Yeah, there were a couple others that I had heard.
But did you catch the opening act? It was
Jim Croce's son or something?
I'm angry that I missed that because I love Jim Croce, man. Talk about a life gone too soon. Operator, won't you help me? You're looking
segment at, one, really? And he's singing already.
I was trying.
Well, we had 45 minutes of priming him.
It's true.
I mean, imagine if the lawn boy, you spent 45 minutes pushing the clear button. You're gonna get some smoke.
Okay, well, we're going to see if we can clean out the fuel bowl and start fresh with segment two next. Have we given you sufficient amount of time to finish your beef stick?
Well, no. There's still 2 inches laying there, but I'll let it sit.
Oh, wow. Look at
I'll
you.
I'll let it sit.
Well, I got to say, those are very good beef sticks.
They really are.
Thank you.
You know, the meat taste aside, the barbecue flavor
really
is really
that really
spot
really
on.
Covers the beef, up the taste.
The grass-fed beef flavor.
So you had... Was there a particular reason that you had it? Was this like a cull cow or something? You're like, make beef sticks out of it, like what we do with deer and whatever else?
Yeah, or, yeah, I did. So I had purchased not a whole bunch, but I had purchased some steers out of Nebraska thinking, and the guy The guy is like certified organic and certified grass-fed beef, so he's even one step crazier than what I do. And I thought, but then when we got out to Nebraska, the cows were nuts, and then they got out here and they weren't used to people, and it was like, we much better turn this guy into ground beef and beef sticks.
And apparently the he must have been very tasty, because you went through how many pounds when you're on vacation?
I don't think the beef was bad, but it was pretty lean.
Yeah,
because they wouldn't really gain weight. They just
they ran too much.
Yeah, they ran. They just were always in a heightened sense of alert.
Yeah,
it's like just calm down and get fat.
But I tell you what, that you sent us that one picture of the steak that you had.
Yeah, the big inch and a half.
Thing. That was impressive.
That was out of my own stock.
Would that take like an hour to get it to well done? That big thick steak. Had to turn the crock pot to high for that one.
Yeah. Oh, no, we didn't.
You will never live that down, by the way.
You made a lot of friends and enemies that day.
Well, this guy was on the smoker. We've got a little, like a tailgating smoker that goes with the camper. Which, despite what I read on the internet, works flawlessly. Because the worst thing you can do is when you buy something, find a group of people that bought the same item, whether it's your Ram truck or your Polaris Ranger or your camper or your grill. Do not seek out a group and join it, because you will just be bombarded with people who have problems.
You don't even have to do that. If you do have a problem or you think there might be a problem, if you start Googling, like my pickup, Ram 1500 radio, and then it's like 8 suggested results. Explodes. Quits working.
Causes cancer.
Becomes sentient and drives the car off a cliff. Like, what? That happens? Are you kidding me?
Well, Aaron, now are you joining these groups beforehand as a matter
some of them,
research?
Yeah, some of them I have, yeah, because I've made up my mind, okay, I want to look at this particular model. Yeah, let's get in there and see what people are saying. Oh, boy, this don't look good.
Is it one of those deals where they only talk about the negative?
I mean, for sure. That's 90% of it. And people will say, hey, like I belong to a Ram forum. And people be like, hey, just join the group. I'm thinking about buying a Ram. What do you guys think? And then the people will,
worst
smart
decision
people,
ever.
Yeah, and then the knowledgeable people will say, yeah, you come here, all you're going to see is people's problems. Go to the F-150 forum. It'll be the same thing. Yeah, go to the Silverado forum. It'll be the same thing. You know, every manufacturer is going to accidentally produce a lemon, and then those people are going to come here and just complain no end.
And you know, there's a forum for everyone who's got that kind of mindset, Mitch being one of those guys. One of the only people that I know that spend like 3 or 4 hours researching the type of underwear to buy, because he wants to be an informed consumer.
Well, and make if sure you're going to spend as much as you spend on your Duluth trading
company
underwear.
Well, I wanted
to
know they were good. Yeah. But
he looked at a lot of pictures and...
No. The thing I appreciate about Duluth is like in their catalog or online, the main picture is like an illustration. So I'm not actually having to look at a dude in his underwear. You can advance to the pictures of that if you want to. I'm like, the cartoon is good enough.
One on their commercials where it's like the guy in the trucker's hat? Dude.
They want you to buy the product. See, they lure you in like, oh, it's for people like me. But you wouldn't want to. If there was an actual picture of a fat guy in his undies, you'd be like, wait, these are for fat guys. I'm not
buying that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not for guys like me.
Me. Right. Fair. That's fair. But you're obviously you're very analytical. You have a Google like thumb. You've got your thumb on the pulse, and so are you able? I'm like, do you just look at the bad? I mean, because it seems like there's all these reviews out there, and I know that I'm guilty of this. Like, I'll just go like, okay, what are people bitching about? And is it because these people are dumbasses, or because these people actually have a legitimate gripe?
Well, you gotta, like on Google, you can click their profile then and see what other things they've reviewed. And certain people, you'll see that it's all one-star reviews everywhere they go, including a place that I like, you know, or a store that I frequent or a business that I've done business with. And they're like, they're the worst bunch of assholes I've ever met. Yeah. I would never go to SP Heating and Cooling ever again. I'm like, oh, oh. Hey, they're at least a 3-star in my book.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, if you average. Yeah.
No, average. No, I kid. But for real, though, that's how you tell. That's how the chronic bitchers, you can sort them out, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Like, if you have 18 negative reviews of, and that's all you've ever reviewed, then I know that's just how you are. So then I'm like, oh, well, this... It actually changes my opinion the other way, almost.
So that, you're saying that it's kind of like a rolling Alan Fitzner.
You, sir, are an idiot.
What is the Fitzner quotient here?
Yeah, yeah. And in fact, I left a negative review of a restaurant in Sioux Falls. I think it's the only negative review or like public thing I've ever done like that. And then I went and I'm like, oh, I don't want to be one of those guys. I don't have very many reviews. So then I went and gave a bunch of positive reviews to other stuff that I probably should have anyway. But I was like, well, I got to bring my average back up. I don't want people to click on me and
Duluth Trading Company. Look at
this curmudgeon complaining about everything.
Underwear for fat guys. Gentlemen, no.
You know, I have to say, if I would click somebody and saw that they reviewed the Texas Roadhouse negatively, I'm going to go ahead and throw anything they say away.
Yeah.
If you don't have anything nice to say about Texas Roadhouse, I don't want to hear it. Nothing.
Uh-oh. That means he doesn't take my reviews seriously.
I don't.
So those rose-colored glasses that...
I didn't it's like the bad. Fresh bread.
It's not bad. It's just not worth waiting in line for. That's
and
my
I've
take
explained
on it.
But you. You
I know, I know, to. I know, I know, I know. But don't you run into like the whole kind of paralysis by analysis deal, like combing over these reviews? Well, it's a 4.1 versus a 4.2. Well, and this and that. Like,
oh, I don't do that.
You don't? I mean,
I do anything 4 and above. Show me all the shoes. Like, these are my... I'm wearing my Amazon Prime Day tennis runners that I got for $30, and I sorted them first by price, and then I sorted them by 4 stars and above.
So you got to be careful. You have to actually read the reviews, because so many things, especially on Amazon, they just get freaking bots all of them. So it's all, you can tell it's like somebody translated this comment from Chinese, like, very good shoe, nice fit. Like, you know, like just a weird way to word things. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no, that's not real.
But I've been really happy with my $30 shoes. They're going to wear out here in about another 2 weeks.
Oh, that reminds me. I spent
nice, Mitch?
I spent $150 on shoes.
Better than $30.
You spent what?
$150 on shoes for the first time in my life.
Are these the ones? Are these the platform shoes you bought so that you can reach the ground on your bike? Because I saw those.
No, I have those. Well, come to think of them, those are kind of expensive too. I have just been spending money like it's going out of style this summer. I need to stop. But
orthopedic shoes?
No, they're these guys. They're like Hey Dudes, but leather.
They're Twisted X.
They are Twisted X. You know about them?
I have a pair.
Yeah, I have a pair too that's made from cowhide with the hair on it. Those are my church shoes.
What?
Those exact. But I did not spend $150 on cow hair shoes.
Well, mine don't have hair on them.
I think you
did. I overpay.
Where'd you buy these?
Yeah. Sioux City. Boot Barn.
Yeah.
Oh, Boot Barn. Was she wearing yoga pants, Wayne?
No, but
tight Wranglers?
She did help me out quite a bit, I'll tell you that right now. She gave me the key to the bathroom.
Well, Twisted X are good, comfortable shoes.
They are?
I've had mine for like 8-9 years. I don't know what they cost.
Mm-hmm.
Probably with inflation, $150 bucks.
I'm looking at 2 years out of my cow hair shoes.
How much were they?
But I'm only wearing them like... Yeah. 1 day a week.
Were they Baumgars?
No, it was at a Western themed tent at the Clay County Fair.
Oh. So that you had
it was a good deal.
You had to have
He haggled. Did you haggle?
No, I didn't haggle because the price was fair.
That's fair.
The price was fair. That's where I bought my Sherpa too. What happened was it started to rain. And I had to take shelter. And the rain was
going
to last.
All right,
the rain was going to last 30 minutes, and I was trapped. I was like a woman I just looked and just didn't have anything in mind. It just wandered around and looked like a woman. Now, when you're a man, you know what you're going to go in and get. You wouldn't be in a store if you didn't know you needed anything.
Correct.
But that's instead, but, there but I was.
Unless an associate comes up and then you are just looking. Thank you. Right. Right? I'm just perusing. Right.
No, yep. Just no you're not. You're a man. Leave me alone. You know, I was in there for 30 minutes while it rained, waiting for the rain to stop. And the next thing you know, I bought cow hair shoes and a white Sherpa.
I'm picturing like Lloyd Christmas, you know, on Dumb and Dumber walking out of the store with the big cowboy hat and stuff on.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, we went down. I'm like, why are we going to Boot Barn? Fine, I have to pee anyway, I guess. This is a stop before we get to the old Icky Nickel and hang out with my other biker brethren.
Oh, so you bought these on your motorcycle trip?
I sure did.
So every time you go somewhere with your brother-in-law, you make him stand around and watch you buy stuff?
No.
What in the hell?
This was the opposite. I bought these because I was standing around watching him try boots on.
Oh. So, okay. It was like, so he was repaying the favor.
He was, very
much. You didn't
much
even
so
get the hint.
Nope. I played along, though. And then, yeah.
They're like, most cowboy boots aren't that wide.
Well, that was exactly the conversation I had. And I said,
did they get the foot measure?
Give me your widest shoe. No, sir, I mean your widest. No, they're like, well, you know, these are about as wide as a gum. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll give it a shot. And then, wait a second. Daddy likes.
Get a belt buckle?
That's none of your damn business.
Guys like us can't wear belt buckles.
Never.
Unless
never.
As long as you never sit down, you can wear a belt buckle. The second you sit down.
Yeah. The only belt buckle I could ever wear is like the WWE Wrestling Championship belt because that sits in front of my stomach. Like that would be the only belt buckle that I could ever actually own and wear. But so I'm a Boot Barn Rewards member now.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
I guess you are kind of a Western guy because remember you wanted to borrow a bolo tie.
What was that for?
I told you my mom had one.
It was dad's and dog. It was for
Daddy. My mom grew up a horse person.
No, she's actually a human though.
Not a centaur, like a person who rode horses.
A horse person.
No, I thought that was what I needed for the father-daughter dance deal.
Instead of a tie with a polo shirt, you were going to wear a bolo tie with a polo. He literally wore a tie with a polo.
I did.
A bolo.
And shirts. And shorts.
Tie that was a good 3 inches above his belly button.
He looked like
what's the cartoon character? I will gladly give you a dollar tomorrow for a hamburger today. That's what he looked like, but with a polo shirt.
It was my Mr. Potato Head tie that my daughter had personally picked out for the occasion.
Right, that doesn't mean you can't tie at the correct length or wear it with an appropriate shirt.
No, it needs to go down to, again, your belt buckle. It gets hard.
If I suck it in, it did.
Because it's the crow flies, it should have worked. But when it takes the path it has to travel,
stupid topography. It gets in the way.
And you got a 22-inch neck to go around, too.
Yeah. Listen here, brother. Either way, it was the outfit that Ava deemed okay. Not more than okay, awesome. And we created a wonderful night out of it. Now, I would dare bet that if we had said polo tie, that it would have also been awesome too. But I guess we'll just have to wait till next year.
Well, my mom found the bolo tie if you need to borrow it.
Oh, good. So. I'm glad that you sent her on the chase.
Yeah.
Wayne's going to need this.
The guy that
comes here and drinks all our beer? Yeah, that guy.
That guy needs it.
There'll be like a 1-inch tail hanging out of it, though, by the time it goes around your neck.
My wife's going to grab me by it.
I've never seen a bolo choker before. That's odd.
No, I did not buy this from Sex World. This was actually from a Western store. Sorry, was that too far?
should have said Spencer Gifts or something.
Yeah.
Sorry. I grew up in Minneapolis.
Good Christian kids wander into Spencer's Gifts accidentally every once in a while.
What is that like? I bet you had to have been that guy, right?
Oh, a lava lamp. And then they've got you trapped.
Yeah. But did you understand the shirts?
No. Yeah, why is there a palm leaf on all everything in here? That's not a palm leaf, Aaron.
They have these glasses for people to drink out of. These must be have really tiny hands.
Oh, yeah. We toured a ship up in Duluth, and there were all these shot glasses, and Ezra wanted one in the worst way. Look at this little glass. I'm like, no, we're not going to be buying that. And then he'd come back, look at this little glass with a different little. And then, yeah, then, of course, the Edmund Fitzgerald is one on one of them. So he wants to buy it.
You bought it, right?
No.
Oh, come on.
I bought him an Edmund Fitzgerald keychain.
Okay.
Thought that'd be a little more appropriate than the shot glass. Well, today your son brought to show and tell a shot glass and just wanted you to know.
Yeah. He was doing this, drinking grape juice out of it while wearing a Muggsy Bogues jersey.
Well, when I was a kid, one of my best friends, his parents owned the bar in Sutherland, and we would go there and, you know, play pool or pinball or whatever and have a pop and a bag of chips, and that was our thing. We were about Wyatt's age, so 11, 12, and he'd go back behind the bar and get a shot glass, and we'd take our orange soda or whatever and pour shots and slam them down
like the big kids.
One of the old codgers in the back.
It's a wonder I ever made it out of Sutherland.
Right. Yeah. You're going to drink with your neck.
You need a beer back with that.
Yeah. Thinking back on it, you know, how did we... You think about like the difference in the generations now. How did we survive? You know, we talk about... Have you seen some of those deals where it's like, what it'd be like if you got hit by your brother in the 1980s? What'd it be like in the 1990s and 2000s? And by the time it's 2000s, they're just in a ball crying. And
So I've got two examples for you where Ace has just been frustrated and upset. He went on a service project at the beginning of the summer with our church. A bunch of the kids, a couple adults, went out to Lincoln, Nebraska, to a church that's kind of downtown down there. Anyways, visiting, after it's all said and done, visiting with the pastor who went down with them as one of the chaperones, he makes the comment to me, I think maybe next year we will just outlaw energy drinks, because there was a Casey's like a block down from the church, and all the boys were just like, oh yeah, nothing going on, to Casey's we go, and they would drink energy drinks and then just have the zoomies, as they say,
right,
well past midnight. And Ace, yeah, so then I told Ace of that. I was like, yeah, you know, just letting you know. And I'd like to know, did you guys just make all kinds of stupid decisions or behave extremely poorly after you, like, OD'd on Monster down at the church youth service project? He's like, whoa, no. And I'm like, well, Pastor said maybe we should think about not letting any of you have energy drinks.
Did he call you bro?
No, he didn't call me bro, but he's like,
brah.
Well, then I just don't think any of us will go.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're going to draw the line in the sand over stupid energy drinks. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
I was like, what?
Well, now you're definitely going.
Yeah. You're telling me.
It appears you need this more than ever.
You have an addiction problem. This is what you have, son.
I can stop at any time. Get out of here. Yeah. Like,
what? You and all your boys are going to, like, boycott the serve project at church next year because we can't have our monsters.
Don't worry, I got a suitcase with a false
bottom. I was
going
to say, are they going to have to search bags before?
I don't know.
Bootlegging monster.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So now, and then, so that's, of course, Asa thinking that how are we ever going to survive without drinking energy drinks? And it's like, what? So then this week, I was able to go golfing at a Western Athletics booster fundraising event on this last Friday. We were a foursome, got the other foursome. One of those guys was the administrator. And
Western?
Yep. Okay. And he's, I know him pretty good. I've talked back and forth with him, and he's just visiting with me. And we talked about cell phones because, like, my daughter wants one now. She's going into eighth grade, and he's, well, keep it away from her as long as you can. And he makes the comment, yeah, we're having discussions, nothing at, like, the highest level, even though basically is the highest level. But we're kind of bouncing off people maybe we should outlaw cell phones in school. You can't bring it in. It stays either in your locker locked or in your car, and you can't. Right now, how it is you have to check it at the door when you go in the classroom. So then all the kids, because he said, I did a new child, new family interview walkthrough school during break between classes, and every kid had their face in their phone. And he said it was incredibly embarrassing. Look at our great culture.
Great.
Well, so
now, he's now, like, now to be fair, like, it's one thing if they're, you know, like, looking at, like, oh, hey, King James, I should probably figure out what song would go good so
I, today. I brought that up to Ace. I said, hey, want to just let you know that the administrator, Mr. Wolf, said they're bouncing around getting rid of. Oh, he was just floored worse than the no energy.
Going to Sheldon.
Yep. Transferring.
Yep. But he's like, I get there.
They smoke cigarettes.
They give me a cell phone and a pack of smokes as a ninth grade orientation.
He says to me, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do between classes and the breaks? What are we supposed to do during dinner? And I'm like, what? Are you serious?
Are you kidding me?
I did not have... Nobody had cell phones.
I had a cell phone, but it wasn't any good. Well,
you only wanted to use it after 7 p.m.
Yeah, yeah. I had a beeper.
Because that's when you had unlimited minutes.
Oh, yeah, correct, yeah.
And he just was floored, like, shook to his core that he wouldn't be, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Like, what is wrong with you? He's like, what did you guys do? I'm like, well, we're dumb, weird, but we played hacky sack.
Well, I was just going to say that. That's what we did.
Yeah, you just stood around. And then there was a period of time when Mellow Yellow in the cans would print an MY in the bottom of the can, and you'd get a free Mellow Yellow. So we'd all get a Mellow Yellow in the afternoon, and we'd all, and then that's just so much fun. Oh, you're done. I'll take a look. Oh, yeah, you got one. That was really, you know, it sounds terrible, but that was our excitement in the afternoon break. Well, but it's just like... Yeah, now I would be 100% behind school if they'd be. Yeah, if you need to get a hold of your kid, call the office. They did that in the school for 100 years. That's right. Can do it now,
or give them a beeper. I had a beeper, man, and it was you found a way to make it work. Because you could text.
Were
codes.
You a drug dealer?
No.
Nobody had beepers growing up, and then TV shows, that's the only people that had them.
So this is one of those cultural differences. Like nobody in Minneapolis or in the suburbs of Minneapolis had mopeds like everyone does around here. We all had beepers. That was how we communicated. You still needed to get a two-way phone to dial the beeper, to dial the buttons that made the message, and you know the. 135 or 138 or whatever. I love you. And, you know, you could do all this, like, boobs. You know, kind of like the calculator.
Like a calculator, yeah. I had a TI-86 for that or whatever it is.
Do you ever play the Drug Wars game on the TI-83?
No, I have never no idea what you're talking about.
Again, cultural difference.
Okay. Yeah,
that was it. You could get a game on, you know, you had your one, like, upperclassman.
You could get a game?
Yeah, we could get a game on your TI-83. And, it was Drug Wars. And you were basically, like, a drug tycoon. And it was basically Oregon Trail as a mafioso drug dealer. Okay, are you going to do
Sounds
this
great.
Or are you going to do this? Okay, great. Oh, man, we...
You know what? I've got an idea for a game. It's going to be big. It's going to be big. Parents are going to love it. It's about dealing drugs.
Well, it wasn't monetized, I'll tell you that.
That's career and technical education up in the Twin Cities, I think they call that.
Okay, Drug Wars TI-83 comes up. It's the seventh thing on my search here. It's the late 1990s, sixth period. You're sitting in the back of the classroom, barely listening to a droning Algebra 2 lesson as you fiddle with your school-issue TI-82 graphing calculator. The only math you're learning is that cocaine costs more than acid and heroin and can be quite profitable in Coney Island. Before everyone had cell phones, millions of teens across the country discovered Drug Wars, a simple game about buying and selling drugs across New York City's boroughs while evading Officer Hardass, yes, that's his real name, and his deputies, muggers, and anyone else who tried to keep you from supplying chemical contraband to hungry customers. You have 30 days to buy low and sell high and to make as much cash as possible, or at least enough to pay back the loan shark.
We had Farm Simulator.
On the TI.
Well, no. I'm just saying, like, an equivalent game that we would have been interested in.
I challenge anybody listening, if you have any idea what Wayne is talking about,
dude,
find us on the social media.
Yeah, let us know.
Everyone.
No. Not everyone.
No.
Every degenerate in Eagan, Minnesota.
Blah 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 blah. It's just because you guys weren't smart enough down here, because obviously we've learned that technology takes about 5 years to get down here from the cities. Yeah. So
that's what I think every time I go to the cities. Wow, people are so smart up here. That's what I think every time.
Well, what's funny is
look at all the things
that you mentioned, that because you know, there's stereotypes, as one well knows, and we should share the story about your dad worried about your own untimely demise while you were in Chicago.
Oh.
Your dad was afraid?
Are we saving this?
Yeah, we're going to take a break. Back to segment 3 after this. Went last year, Mitch, to Pella.
Yeah.
And then you decided, you know what? I'm really into this Dutch stuff, so let me go to Michigan next year, because I really want to get up in that, because that's your gig, right? That's kind of your jam.
Well, we never talked about it on the podcast, but I told you guys privately I loved Pella.
Yep.
You'd move there in a heartbeat. Yep. Everybody takes care of their lawn.
Everybody takes care of everything.
No dogs pooping.
You know, it's like my father-in-law, we were talking about it. It's like, it's just incredible how clean and neat everything is. And not everything's fancy. Like, there's, you know, normal, run-of-the-mill homes, but they're well-kept. You know, they're painted, lawn's mowed, blah, 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 blah. I was like, I don't know how they enforce that. He goes, you don't get to live here if you don't do that. They tell you, get the hell out of here and go live in Oskaloosa if you don't want to mow your damn lawn.
And Oskaloosa says...
Well, how can they enforce that, though?
Well, they don't, but that's like the culture the message that you don't fit in here if you don't take care of stuff. And I think that's true, because, you know, in most towns, including even most towns around here, even the ones that we consider super Dutch and neat and clean and whatever... There's a certain level of tolerance for that, you know, for messiness or not taking care of stuff. Well, we got to give them a chance to improve. And I think in Pella, no, you don't get, you had your chance. Get out of here.
So what is Sunday like in Pella?
It's quiet.
I wasn't there we left on Sunday. I don't know.
Okay. What is Sunday like in Pella? It's very quiet.
But there are no lawns being mowed on that day.
Well, the reason why I asked that is because Mitch is like, man, there's all these bars and all these things to do. And then, what goes on Sunday?
Well, that I don't know. Well, there weren't a lot of bars, but there were per capita, there were more than there are in Orange City, probably. Like, it was... You know, a little bit less conservative in that regard.
Yeah. In Orange City, there's 0.75.
Right. Exactly. There's twice as many. So still half as many as Sheldon. But anyway. So I couldn't get enough of the Dutchiness.
So then you decided, let's take the family together on yet another vacation. And now this time we're going to...
Well, this was our second vacation.
Michigan!
First, we went to... Decorah, where you're headed in a month.
Yeah, that's right.
That was just like a 3-day deal, but we kind of got, then that was a little more Norwegian heritage. So we're kind of like making a cultural tour of Iowa each year. And I really like Decorah too. That was really cool in its own way. You know, it's the coast of Iowa or whatever you want to call it. Super liberal enclave.
Oh, yes.
Which I looked it up, and Trump won 52-48 or something in 2020. So it's not...
In that county?
It's not quite as liberal as you portrayed it to be, which was the point I tried to make. I was right.
It's a college town, so most of those people are registered to vote elsewhere. So, go figure.
No, college kids can register to vote in their town.
They can.
And do I did. Most kids did when I was in college.
So just because you did when you were...
Anyway, we're off topic.
Lineman you.
I enjoyed another... well, not all of it was the Dutch area, but went to Michigan. And basically, we went all the way around Lake Michigan, down to like Traverse City. And then we were in Grand Haven, which is right near Grand Rapids. Holland, actually, is the closest bigger town.
Did you talk to the Grassmans?
I did not.
You didn't bump into them?
But we talked to this couple that we ran into at a restaurant the one night, and they're like, oh, where are you guys from? Oh, we're from Iowa. Iowa? How'd you ever even hear of this place? I'm like, well, you know, it's only two states away. Like, I said,
we're not the place with the potatoes.
Well, we're from Northwest Iowa, and it's, you know, very Dutch. So we, you know, have heard of a lot of the places around here. They're like, oh, did you bring your wooden shoes? It's like, we're not Dutch. We don't have wooden shoes, but, you know, they're obviously very familiar with the culture. Again, very nice, clean place. I liked it there a lot.
Which, again, that speaks his language. Like, no, nobody's putting any socks on. Yeah,
everywhere I looked, there were counters devoid of socks.
Yeah. I like it. That's why I'm Dutch by association, I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, to your where you were starting to head earlier, we ended our vacation with a few days in Chicago.
Dirty
Chicago. Let's dirty ourselves up.
Well, well, it's very not Dutch there. But,
hey, little kids, Lake Michigan. It's a Chicago River.
Yeah, don't swim in the Chicago River. We did take a river tour, and the kids were like, can you jump off the boat and swim? I'm like, not if you want to live to see tomorrow. Like, that'd be a very bad idea. I don't know what all gets dumped in there. But yeah, my dad, I hadn't talked to him the whole trip, and we're, you know, 5-6 days in or whatever. He texts me. He's like, are you guys okay? You're in Chicago, and I haven't heard from you.
So, you listen to her. You watch too much Fox News, Dad. Yeah. And well, 20% of the Chicago population gets shot every week.
Well, it's like when we went to Minneapolis a few years ago.
Well, you're going to get carjacked, you know.
I'm like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, I know it's more prevalent, but they ain't going to happen. I'm fine. Anyway, I call him to be like, yeah, it's fine, Bob. We're, and no more does he pick up the phone and all of a sudden sirens go by the window of the hotel room. He's like, oh, my God, are those for you? Are you guys okay? Yeah, no, it's not for us. It's just a big city and, you know, about every 10 minutes a fire truck or something goes by. We're okay. But we survived. We were mugged twice, which, you know, in the 3 days.
It's hey, not, that's not too bad.
Below, I mean, average.
Below average. Below average. And by mugged, it means that you had to pay for concessions at Wrigley Field.
That is highway robbery. I will say that. Yeah, Greta had to remind me a couple times. You're sounding like your dad complaining about the price of stuff.
Oh, geez, Greta. Have you seen?
What's for a hot dog?
Yeah, you knew that when you signed up for this, Mitch. It is what it is. Okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'll shut up.
But yeah, you wore a smile the whole time. Said, no, that's fine. That's why we're here. Everything.
Yeah, I reviewed the credit card statement the other day. I'm like, there's our monthly grocery budget was blown on hot dogs, basically.
At Wrigley Field.
It doesn't surprise me that it'd be like the day after you got back. Now, how much did I actually spend?
It was less than I thought. It felt like more, but, well, I got to pay it, so.
Yeah, no, it's automatic pay.
It is automatic, but I don't want a big surprise when it comes out.
Oh. Well, when you only pay $20 a month, I mean, it is what it is, man.
Would not be responsible, Wayne.
Yeah. Oh, it's not? Oh, shit.
Right on the front page. At $20 a month, that'll take till 25, 25.
That's why you don't read the statements. I mean, that's fine. But you're just not having a good time with concessions nowadays.
You're alluding to my experience at the lakes weekend?
So, as we were talking about, we were at the promenade, the preservation on the green, whatever, Shabadoo, and Arnold's Park built this new, like, it's like a structure. There's a bar on top and you concession area on the bottom, and they used to be just a bunch of porta potties, so we're really classing the joint up. And so, I get there, and you know, we came late because we were
had our other obligations before we got there. But then we get there, and then Mitch is just hot. You, like, you could see the steam coming from his head.
Like oh, I wasn't that mad.
Yeah. Oh, you were mad?
Oh, yeah. No, because I had followed them back to, like, where they were sitting. Like, I had spotted Lydia. Like, Lydia, where are you guys at? I was like, oh, we're over here. And the,
you would not believe this shit.
I didn't say that.
You're exaggerating.
Me, no.
Well, what did you say then?
I don't remember what I said to Wayne.
But
I
it wasn't that.
No. He's blowing
was
up a little.
Was this the people cutting in line
It
thing?
Was the people cutting in line. And if there's
Mitch the rule follower.
Well, cutting in line.
You is, want a little job.
Do you want anarchy? This is how you get anarchy.
To me, it's thievery. And there is, to me.
Thievery?
It is. It's thievery Whoa. Of my time. And to me, there is nothing more insulting to me than stealing from me. Because that means that you think your time or your, you know, benefit of my resources is more important than my own time.
So did you right? give this same lecture to the people? That
well, I would have if they would have stuck around after I yelled at them. But it is. How entitled is that? Like,
thief! Thief!
Well, there's a big line here. I hate waiting in line. But I'm going to follow the damn rules because that's how society works, yes. right?
Yeah.
Just because I'm wearing a more expensive shirt than you doesn't mean I get to go to the front. Contrary to what some people believe at Lake Okoboji, apparently.
Somebody went to Target.
But yeah, seriously, I waited in line for 30 minutes
Oof.
To get candy for my daughter. I wasn't even getting a drink for myself or anything. That still wouldn't have been worth it.
And some punk kid jumped in front of you.
He had smuggled the drinks in.
Mitchell.
I brought in two cans of beer in my cooler that was buried under my lawn chair.
I brought six.
Anyway.
I also bought some from the stand, so it wasn't like I, you know...
Don't
screw him over. Yeah. Me, but I can go ahead and thieve from you. Know,
I didn't thieve from anybody.
Good guy, Mitch Keese. Okay, yes, continue.
So the punk kids bunch in front of you.
Yeah, the punk 65 plus year olds.
The boomers? Get out of way. I'm waiting for this country ass.
Huge line, and it's taking for freaking ever. And I people watch a lot, and I'm constantly watching like a hawk because I know people are going to try to budge.
Judging.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, don't you? Come on.
That's why you people watch.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you're not just watch taking to observe. It all.
But
yeah,
you can see these people walking up. You can see them from a mile away, right? Mm-hmm. They walk up and they see there's this big ass line and then they stand there and like, oh, crap, now what am I going to do? And then they look around and what they look for is they look for somebody in line who is like facing the other way. Because then they can kind of sidle up next to them. And then you know, by the time those people turn around, they're like, oh, well, I didn't know that guy was in line ahead of me, but okay, whatever. Well, I'm not the guy who's not going to notice that. So this freaking guy comes walking in and I can see him kind of looking around, you know, sideways glance all over and sidles up like three people ahead of me. And the people next to him had no idea. And I was like, excuse me, sir. He turns around like,
me?
I was like, yeah, you, the guy cutting in line. What? Oh, are you in line? I was like, yeah, all 40 of us back here are. We weren't just hanging out behind the line holding a spot for you.
Oh, I had no idea, sir. I apologize. I was
you
like,
should have asked him what he did for a living. That would be very interesting to know.
Oh,
I buy and sell grain.
But then, you know, this old look of bewilderment, like, oh, well,
thank you for telling me, sir. Oh, geez. Oh, I would have appeared to be so rude if only someone hadn't pointed it out.
I'm so thankful you alerted me
to this. Yes.
And then another guy, it was basically the same thing, and he was better at playing dumb, but...
what?
Then this lady comes up,
and
again, I'm getting mad at this point, because I'm like the third person now in a 10-minute span trying to cut the frickin' line, because the line's gotten longer behind us, too, this whole time, and I called her out, and I just said, hey, excuse me, ma'am, I don't know if you noticed, but... This big L-shaped mass of people behind me is the line. She's like, oh, and kind of shrugs her shoulders. I was like, so, you know, that's the back of the line. Mm-hmm. And she's like, sir, you need to chill. And I said, ma'am, you need to go to the back of the line like everybody else. I've been waiting here for 25 minutes and I'm almost to the front. And that's a bunch of BS if you think you're going to jump in front of us. I don't like waiting any more than anybody else, but that's just part of the deal. So, like, get out of here.
Oh, I wish I could find her Facebook post that she posted after that.
Oh, I know. I know. I was waiting for it. I was waiting for, like, she probably took a picture of me as she walked away and posted, does anybody know this freaking guy? What's his deal? But then a couple minutes later, she finally did. She stormed off and was yelling at me, and I don't know what
did
all
you,
she said.
While you were doing this, did you get any, like, backup or anybody else in the line being like, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah?
No, other people looked at me like, kind of like, oh, thankfully somebody said something, but it was not going to be me. So I'm the jerk that other people get to live vicariously through in this situation.
Some of us are the sheep and some of us are the guard dog.
Yeah, no. I'm not trying to sound like I'm not trying to sound like a tough guy. But I hate that.
That's
come on, man. I'm not that guy. But it makes me so angry. Does it not bother you?
Oh, for sure it does. But I don't have the brass balls you've got to say something in front of people. Maybe I would. Oh, if I was physically bigger, so I'd probably be willing to say something.
I didn't used to do this. And about 10 years ago, we were at an airport. And we were in a big line waiting to board. And you know how that is. You just wait in line. You're all getting onto the same freaking plane, right? Yeah. And some guy just walks up literally to the front of the line and just, like, basically shoves this lady out of the way to go to the front. And I, from 20 people back, I yelled, hey, a-hole. The line is back here.
Yeah.
And he looked at me like, no one had ever confronted him before, probably. Mm-hmm. He probably does this kind of crap all the time.
And he's probably double gold eagle, like...
No. Those people had already all boarded. Okay. This was general boarding, and he just...
And I don't... You know, to that, I don't understand. The plane isn't leaving for another 20 minutes. It's not leaving till this line is done.
Yeah. Would you rather be in the big metal tube without air conditioning first, mm-hmm. or...
Again, I'm not in necessarily a hurry to get on, but the fact that you think you're more important than everybody else in line really rubs me the wrong way. And that guy just looked at me like no one had probably ever said anything to him.
If you stood 5'8", 150 pounds, you'd be able to pull this off?
I don't know. Maybe not, but I'm not, so I can get away with it.
Yes,
yep. You're not 5'8", 150.
No, I can. I suck it in, and I put it all in my upper chest.
Well, I'm 5'8", but
then I had, like, an epiphany. I'm like, you got to call people like that out. That's how you correct the behavior, mm-hmm. right? Is embarrass them in front of everybody else.
Who made you the morality police?
Me.
Do you have a badge?
No, I think it's your responsibility as someone who wants to obey the rules. Society has rules, and we've thrown a lot of those rules away, and now society's breaking down. You could apply that all over the place. There's used to be norms.
Right.
Yeah.
But now most of the norms are gone.
But the norm, your norm is somebody else's exception.
No.
It is,
my
though.
Norm is 100% correct all the time.
Consideration
which you talk a big game, because if somebody else breaks that norm, we're like, oh, well,
this isn't
I need Mitch to come and help.
This isn't using the correct fork at a nice dinner. This is literally inconveniencing everyone else for your own benefit and being brazen about it. And I think that kind of behavior is bull. Not going to put up with it.
Did you learn that in football? Did football teach you that?
Well, it taught me how to yell at people. Yeah.
Which is why he was a natural at the position he was in.
But you know, getting out of line is handled that way, especially in football, especially in college football, I would say, where somebody's out of line, whether it's your teammate or a coach to a player, whatever, that's how that happens. You get corrected immediately and severely. And
that's how you run your house.
Well, not all the time.
When he's allowed to. Well, you bring up the airline scenario. It reminds me, have you seen that picture on the internet now, like where it's the gal that is not like moving in the line?
You know,
it's the line, you know, like the crisscross line where it's going all the way to.
Oh, yeah.
And her response is, you know, there's like four or five turnstiles ahead of her or whatever, and her response is, either way, we're going to go to the same place at the same time, so why should I move? And there's like a bunch of people behind her. Do you agree or disagree with that idea?
I think she needs to keep moving.
You need to keep moving.
The end does not justify the means.
Well, part of the reason for those cues like that is to keep people moving, to give you the illusion that you're making more progress than what you are.
So she should help,
right?
Prop up the illusion.
Yes.
Yeah, actually, yeah. That would be the considerate thing to do. Just because it's not really inconveniencing her to grab her suitcase and move it 3 feet when the line moves ahead, right? You're not asking a great deal of her.
True.
Also, what you can't see in that picture is the line now out of the queue?
Sure. Yeah.
To where it's not an orderly line and people are out into the hallway where they're fighting traffic and stuff because she refuses to move forward. Eventually it would be. Mm-hmm. If everybody took her tack, that's what would happen.
Sure.
So.
And that's what you are, Mitch Geese, defender of
line police.
And so when your children see this, do they go, oh, dad? Or do they go, yeah, dad!
That's my dad! Well,
Lydia was with me, so she is 100%.
Well, like, it was her. What did you say you were getting her? Skittles or something?
Popcorn.
I was getting her something, candy.
Right? Candy. Yeah.
So, yeah, well, of course she was
like, all right, dad, let's boot it. Let's find some infraction these other jerks in front of us are doing and really shorten this thing.
What's funny is I showed up right as Mitch was explaining this, and Wyatt goes, you know what I would have told that woman? And like, Mitch is like, yeah, no, just no, stop.
Let's not go overboard. I didn't need to insult her. But yeah, she came back around, and she apparently found another place. She must have been in line for beer. And she came back, and she has two beers in her hand, and she goes, look, if you go over there, the line's a lot shorter if all you want is beer. I said, well, good. Then you can go there next time instead of cutting in line like a flippin' idiot.
Oof, Mitch.
Well, if she wants to, like, throw it back at me, well, that's exactly right. Go to the beer-only line.
Let's dance.
Go to the beer-only line instead of, you know, making your own line. Come on.
She was ready to watch the country ass.
Yeah, I think she was pretty drunk, but whatever.
At like 7:30.
Yeah. It's the lakes.
True.
Probably been in Miller's Bay all day.
True. Woo! Well, we're about pert near an hour and a half, so I suppose.
Well, we didn't hear about Aaron's trip, though. We got to hear about Aaron's trip. I talked all about mine.
You did.
No, that's fine. We came home with a Edmund Fitzgerald keychain. we drank a little bit of this.
We drank all of it, actually.
Yeah, we did drink all of it. Castle Danger Brewery up at Two Harbors.
It's a good beer, yeah.
Yeah, it was good. Go back up there, Phil, enjoy, rinse, repeat.
And, of course, your brother-in-law was the trip planner and trip organizer and trip keeper on a tasker.
Yeah. We only had one little hiccup. I don't think it was, but some of the moms. So we took the train.
Yay!
Which we've done before.
Up there?
No, like on trips before, we've taken trains, and it's just a hit. Well, we took a train, and it went from Duluth north up a ways and then came back down, and you could get a personal pan pizza. So he finds
Was this
Domino's
train put on by... I was going to say Pizza Hut, but... So Lenoid was your conductor.
So, no, the
you got it. Thank you.
No, I have no idea what you just said. So we're waiting to get on. We have tickets, and they have a couple different cars.
and somebody budges in line.
No.
Like an a-hole.
So I told them. Now, so Eric finds somebody who's wearing like a vest. Oh, someone who knows what they're doing. Hey, what car do you recommend? What car do you like the most to sit in during this trip? What car are you going to get the best experience in? And he says, well, my favorite car is the one way on the end. And that's my wife's favorite, too. Anytime we ride on this train, we want that car because the window's open.
Oh, man.
So you get
fresh air.
Maybe
fresh
the full air experience. Off the lake. And you're seeing everything, not through a window pane. Oh, that makes sense. So Eric says, hey, guys. And we were under the impression that the train was going to be packed. Like, all the seats were sold. So if we want these premium seats, we need to hustle. So we go way to the end car, and we get way to the end car, and then you realize there's no air conditioning on that car.
That's why the window is open.
Because the window's open.
Oh, no.
And it was like 90, it was nearly a record high for Duluth that day that we were up there. And I was fine with it because of the breeze. And you had already been, I don't know, I think maybe, I don't remember what we all did that day, but you were hot and sweaty the way it was.
Right.
I didn't have to sit in air conditioning. I was perfectly content sitting there and letting the breeze blow by as you're cruising along the shore and stuff. So for me, it made no difference. But I think a couple of the moms were like, are you shitting me? We walked through two air-conditioned cars. And wound up in this hot, non-air-conditioned car. And the thing is, so there's this tension. And because we're a good Dutch family, we don't talk about
it. Don't acknowledge it, yeah.
Do we need to all sit together? Well, there's an understanding, oh, this is a together day. We should all sit together. There can be no dissension. Nobody may leave and come back to an air-conditioned car because it's together day. And I told my wife, I'm like, if any of these, because some, so my kids, my youngest sat by me, Ezra, he can handle the heat, but some of these kids have had a big day and they're 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever, and they're getting sick of it, right? And a hot, sweaty train car is not really their thing.
Right.
And if they could have sat in air conditioning, maybe the behavior would have been a little better. So my thing to my wife is like, just tell your sisters, take their kids back that way. I don't think the train is completely booked. So my brother-in-law, he felt terrible. So he's listening to this now, right? But anyway, I was like, dude, it's fine. You asked the guy what the best experience was going to be. It's not like you were like, how can I make my sisters-in-laws just the most miserable as absolutely possible? I'm going to make them sit up there. But I loved it. I love the ride back up there and the ride back. And so it's really funny when we're planning this out, like in February, March, April, we got Sunday Rock Valley dinner and we're talking about it. And then Eric says, and then there's a train ride we can do, and as I see here, there's actually an open bar on the train. And then everybody looks at me, oh, Aaron, you get to go. This is really going to be fun for you. So, yeah, I bought a couple beers for the train ride.
Do you embrace that? Now, oh, yeah. Like, now you're just saying, yeah. Oh, no, I mean, well, you know, if I was thirsty,
I'm fine. I don't need to have a beer to enjoy the train.
But the boat ride was the same thing.
Right, and then another time we can take a boat ride, and as I see here, you can purchase beer on the boat.
Aaron, they've got beer. Did you hear that? They got beer in the boat.
So at this point, are your in-laws, like your parents' in-laws, are they head in hand, or are they like, that's something you like?
Yeah,
you've proven your responsibility to them.
So I think so. Nobody's stolen my beer
again
for years.
It's been years. It's been
a few years since. I learned, you know, no confrontation. You just come back to your chair and your beer's gone. That's when you know.
Yep.
Oh, somebody decided I'd had enough.
I will go drink beer in the camper now.
In the camper by myself. it's fun.
That sounds exhausting, the non-confrontational aspect of it.
It's very relaxing.
No. You can't even say, it's just so hot. We're just going to pop over to the next car. No, everybody's okay with that, right? You're like, the tension sounds
But I think the brothers-in-laws all just don't care.
Yeah.
You know? And it, but so, the sisters perhaps have that tension, maybe? I don't know. Maybe.
That just sounds exhausting to me.
But are all of the brothers-in-law from similar upbringings?
Absolutely, where, we are. Nearly identical.
So it's all like, oh, mum's the word.
Yeah. It's
I tried! Okay? I tried for you!
Nope, everything's fine.
It was a blessing of a vacation. 9 days.
Line cutters love people like you, by the way. They seek you out.
They look like a bunch of...
All right, they're all really tall. They're probably family. Dutch. Let's go cut right in front of them.
They won't say a thing. They'll just complain about it on the way home.
And then on Sunday, they'll pray for us.
That's right.
Pray for these people, for they know not what they do.
But it was a beautiful vacation. It was really warm the couple days. Then it cooled down again, and and the area is incredible. Beautiful place.
How far up to the shore did you go?
We only went about an hour and a half drive north of Duluth. However, my brother-in-law, who laid the trip out, Eric, him and his family went nearly all the way to the Canadian border. Up to a national forest up there where their kids could get the ranger badges and that kind of thing. But, you know, we could go up there again, do a whole bunch of stuff, 9 days, and not repeat anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There just is a lot to do. Beautiful place.
Yeah, that's the only time I've ever seen Canada was I was about 10 years old. My family and I, we went up there, did this whole up the North Shore, you know, north of Duluth and whatever. And back then, you didn't need a passport. You didn't need anything to cross the border. So we decided the one night after supper, Dad was like, well, we had been talking about, well, if we have time, we're going to go to Canada, you know, just to say we've done it. And we got up to the border, and there's a turnaround right by the border crossing. And we're all thinking we're going into Canada. And my dad all of a sudden turns into the turnaround. I'm like, hey, I thought we were going into Canada, because we actually, you know, talk things out. And he's like, well, see right past that guardhouse there? Yeah, that's Canada. Tell your friends you saw Canada. Takes off, heads back to the hotel. So I've been within, you know, 50 yards or whatever of Canada, but I've never actually gotten to go in.
But you've seen it.
Lord, I've seen
knows
it.
I have. I drank illegally there. Well, actually, I drank illegally there.
No, we'd be legally there, right? Yeah. Because it's 18.
Yep. I smuggled beer and brought a woman up there. And boy, I'm probably the reason why you
brought her back to
passport.
Trafficking?
Yeah, you brought her back.
It's not too, trafficking, right? She's older than me.
Oh.
No? Anyways.
Okay, well. Statute of limitation?
Well, she went willingly, and we drove her Saturn, so...
Oh, well, you said you snuck her, so...
No, I snuck the beer.
Oh.
Oh. Sounds better when you say it that way.
Yeah.
I thought I did. Sorry. Anyway, all right. We've established that Mitch is the rule Nazi, and Aaron is the quiet, composed...
Alcoholic of the Van Regen Order clan.
And either way, Todd's lawn care.
Todd's turf care.
Sucks.
No!
I mean, they're great.
Softball. No, and softball, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we could beat them any time.
But you know what? No, Todd's turf care. Those butt berries suck.
That's
right. Yeah. So we thank you for sponsoring our episode today. If you want to become a sponsor, it's pretty easy to do. We have a little bit of a lineup, but we want to get your opportunity in. So all you need to do is Venmo or give us straight cash, homie. Either way.
Cash, check, money order.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We take it all. $50. And a case of beer. So that's all it takes. But we know that your time is important. We thank you for spending that little bit of time with us. And until next time, we promise we'll try to make this a little bit more consistent now that Mitch's 4 weeks of vacation is over, at least for 2023.
Yep.
And until next time, we'll see you.
Religion lives on from the Chippewa down of the big lick they called Gitche Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy.
What the hell's that?